Welcome to Digication Scholars Conversations. I'm your host, Kelly Driscoll. In this episode, you'll hear part one of my conversation with Tina Abate, Clinical Assistant Professor and Coordinator of the Nursing Student Internship Program in Stony Brook University School of Nursing. More links and information about today's conversation can be found on Digication's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Full episodes of Digication Scholars Conversations can be found on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Welcome to Digication Scholars Conversations. I'm your host, Kelly Driscoll, and today I am so pleased to welcome Tina Abate. Tina is a clinical assistant professor and coordinator of the Nursing Student Internship Program in Stony Brook University's School of Nursing. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Tina, I would love to start our conversation today just learning a little bit about what brought you to Stony Brook University. It's such a beautiful, unique area and institution. So I would love for our listeners to learn a little bit about that.
Sure thing. So I was born and raised on Long Island, and I started my nursing career at Stony Brook University Hospital in the NICU. Then around 2006, I decided to go back to school, to graduate school. So I was lucky enough to be awarded a fellowship program at Binghamton University. So I lived there from 2006 to 2015. So I graduated with my doctorate in 2015, and it was time to head back home. So a position opened at Stony Brook University School of Nursing, and I was very honored to accept it. And I've been there for 8 years now, and I love it. And I just see myself retiring from there. It's just an amazing place to work.
Yeah, it's a really special school. I had the opportunity to visit the campus a few times, and oh my gosh, I still remember this adorable little bed and breakfast that was close to a area where you could walk by the water. Although I'm sure there's a lot of areas where you can walk by the water there.
Absolutely.
But it was so gorgeous. There are all these waterfowl, and got to enjoy the sunset there. So I have happy memories of my time visiting the school. And I don't know if you know this, but Digication's actually been working with SBU since 2007. Oh, wow. So it's been a very long history, and you're our first guest from Stony Brook University. So I'm very excited to have you on the podcast. And I was interested, you know, can you recall when your passion for healthcare started to emerge? Was there someone in your life or maybe an experience that you had that was an inspiration to you?
Yeah, in high school, actually.
Okay.
I knew I wanted to do something where I was helping people. I just wasn't sure where I was going to land in that regard. But I had originally wanted to be a pediatrician. So our high school had a program where you could shadow a doctor for the day. And I spent the bulk of that day with the nurse. And I said, wait a minute, this is what I want. I want that interaction with patients like nurses do. And so I pursued my bachelor's degree from Binghamton in nursing. And it really is a phenomenal career, a profession to be in, because we have so many different options. You don't even have to be at the bedside or working with patients. There are so many roles that you can have within the nursing profession. It's just that dynamic. So, you know, I feel very lucky that I had that experience, because it really guided me to my present day.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about your time in the NICU as well. I'm sure that that was very special. And what was it that kind of made you shift and get more involved in teaching?
So my goal was never really to teach. When I pursued my doctorate, I got into the BS to PhD program. And my research was very neonatal ICU focused. I did my dissertation on gastroschisis. So I was heading down more of a clinical research type of background. But then in 2007, I was asked to teach a clinical group to bring a group of students to the NICU. And, you know, being a graduate student, it was financially difficult at the time, and they were offering me wages. And I said, okay, absolutely. So I brought students to the NICU, and just something came over me. It was just as if I had met my professional soulmate. Like, it was like that deep.
Oh, yeah.
I said, yeah. What's happening here? Like, it was a complete departure from what my goals were, because I was also thinking hospital administration and things. So I continued to ask for teaching assignments, and I just, I fell in head over heels, and it's really just, it's become part of my core being at this point. So, and I've been teaching now for 16 years.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So we have an interesting connection that I wasn't expecting today. One of the children that I adopted was actually born with gastroschisis. And
really?
I'm not even probably pronouncing it correctly. It's a big word.
Wow, yeah.
But he was in the NICU for almost 2 months. I hadn't met him yet at the time, but learning about that, it's just incredible what modern medicine can handle, really.
And what babies can handle too, because
they are
my most resilient beings ever. And I just have the most love and respect for babies. That will always be part of me. So that's incredible what they endure, but still persevere.
Yeah, yeah. They arrive here made to survive, really. I mean, it is definitely just built in. They require a lot of care and attention, but they are still, mighty, mighty little beings.
Small but mighty. Hope he's okay.
Yes, he's wonderful.
I'm glad.
Yes, yes. Thank you for asking. Yeah, he's doing great. So circling back to the School of Nursing and Digication. So do you know when the School of Nursing started using Digication? Were you part of that? Or was it something that was already integrated when you joined?
At least in the undergraduate program, I had introduced it, I would say, about 2018 or so.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the leadership and management courses in the undergraduate program. So I would say about 2018.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I know more about what you were doing, you know, a little bit, not I'll know more in a few minutes, but I know more about what you were doing within the kind of student internship program. But I would love to hear, if you're still utilizing ePortfolios and other kinds of courses and experiences as well. So it sounds like you may have been one of the early users of ePortfolio technology within the School of Nursing. And was it that management course that was where it began?
Correct.
Okay. And did it have any kind of connections to accreditation or assessment? Because I know in some other healthcare related fields, that's sometimes how this kind of technology gets incorporated into the curriculum. And other times it's more focused on providing a space for the students to really tell their story about their experiences. So I was kind of curious how it might have maybe first started and if there's been any kind of evolution since it began.
Absolutely. It had just started really with them developing a resume, because we have student learning objectives that in this course And the formal term is transitions into baccalaureate nursing practice.
Okay.
I just call it leadership and management for short, but it's basically bridging that journey between student and baccalaureate prepared nurse. Mm-hmm. So the course focuses in part on developing your career, putting your best foot forward, and we have student learning outcomes that pertain to that. So it started with a resume, and then I decided to take it a step further with our RN to BS students. Now, these are students that have their two-year RN degree, and they're pursuing their four-year baccalaureate degree. So in the course, not only do they develop their resume, but they also develop this e-portfolio as part of the course and part of their course grade.
Nice. So as they're coming in, you know, at these different kinds of levels in their kind of education and professional pursuits, how are you introducing them to this type of technology and maybe how it may differ from other kinds of tools that they're using either at school or when they're in the field?
So we have them get into the education program sooner than later, even though the assignment is due at the end, and we provide them a lot of guidance, and we have a very prescriptive rubric that details what they should be including in this e-portfolio so that they can start collecting their materials. And the points earned are also visual appeal, because you can have just a straightforward e-portfolio, which is fine, but to have a little bit more visual appear and flair to it, I think is very helpful. So that's, you know, if they want to earn the top tier points for each category, that includes some sort of visual appeal. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but, you know, something just to make it a bit more appealing as you look at it. So they also get resources on how to access. Bring them to the tutorials that you provide. I also have some screenshots of my own. And then, of course, they can reach out to Digication or myself for any, it takes a little, this definitely a learning curve with any platform that you use. So once they get the hang of it, then they're fine.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that. And I know as we've been developing Digication over time, we really have had a focus on making it something that can be personalized and, giving students the opportunity to present who they are, not just, using it as a file repository. And I know especially sometimes in more healthcare-oriented disciplines or any kind of professional practice programs, they're often required to share, their experience and certifications, professional development opportunities. But very often other platforms are very kind of form-oriented and very strict in how that information is presented. So do you feel like the students enjoy the opportunity to do something that wasn't so form oriented, even if there was a little bit of a learning curve? Did they find that was valuable to them?
Yeah, I think so, because Digication definitely is flexible, mm-hmm. and gives you that levity to develop something that can represent you. Mm-hmm. So I have seen I've graded some very amazing, beautiful, it's almost like artwork, some of these students really just go that extra mile to create these I would say e-portfolio art, I guess. Uh-huh. And you really can really understand and get to know the student just by taking a journey through their e-portfolio. And career development is so important. In this course, they go through a mock interview with someone that they don't know. And actually, our mock interviewers are a master of leadership and education students. So they need experience in interviewing. And the students as well, to get really immersed and get some practice in nursing profession-oriented interview questions.
Right.
So the master students interview the RN students, the undergraduate students, for a fictitious job. And they can choose either a med-surg position, a leadership position, or applying to graduate school. So the interview can have one of those three foci. Right.
Okay.
And then the students then go off and meet with the career center one-on-one, and they get their resume tweaked mm-hmm. by them because they're, you know, really the experts mm-hmm. in resume development. And you know, the final part of it is to put all of this together into an e-portfolio. They need something that will set them apart from the, you know, fellow candidates for a job that they're pursuing or graduate school. So I think it's more of a holistic type of approach.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. And as they're building this out, you know, you mentioned that the process started with the resume. And then it sounds like it's evolved to include other kinds of content that they've created, maybe as part of your class, but also other classes that they've taken. Could you describe a little bit about what kinds of things that they're including within those e-portfolio pages now, sure. maybe in addition to the resume?
So definitely the resume. They have a welcome page where they introduce themselves. We encourage them to include a photo and just give a brief description about themselves and their work history. They can record it, audio, or they can, you know, do both narrative and audio if they wish. They put in their nursing philosophy, which is constructed in a previous course. So they take their nursing philosophy and they present it as one of their first tabs in the e-portfolio. They also put in their goals. Where do they see themselves? That's such a typical interview question, right? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? So that's housed in the e-portfolio. And any certifications, professional development, things like that. And the last thing that they include is they do a poster presentation in the sibling course that we have for leadership and management. So they put their professional poster in there as well, where they do like a hypothetical EPP project that's leadership oriented. So they have, you know, a nice display, a professional display of one of their projects. It's so much better than uploading a paper, you know.
Right.
So this is just a really great thing to include in there. So that's what they have in their e-portfolio.
Nice. So are they doing any kind of, I know, you know, as part of your roles, you're coordinating the internship program with the nursing students. Are they pulling in any kind of reflections or maybe materials about that kind of internship experience as well? I know they're not sharing, you know, specifics about the patients and things, but are they able to share elements of what that kind of experience was like for them in their e-portfolio?
Not at this point, but that is definitely something to consider. So right now I have this assignment with our RN. These mm-hmm. are post-licensure students. This spring, I will be bringing in e-portfolios to the pre-licensure students.
Nice.
So, and in the internship, I have pre-licensure students. So these pre-licensure students take transition into professional practice as part of their last semester, just like the RN students. And what I see with that is on their resume, putting a QR code
mm-hmm.
to their e-portfolio, just like I recommend to the RN students.
Yeah.
And they can, you know, link out so that when they're uploading their resumes and things for their job applications, that QR code will be right there.
Yeah.
So adding reflections, I think, is a great idea to have a tab like reflections of student nursing or something to that effect.
Yeah, we've had some other programs that have had a lot of success in using that as a place, because so often when they go, you know, before they've had these kind of field experiences, or even, you know, maybe having an experience with even a group of other nurses, you know, there's things that are being learned every day, right?
Yeah.
And having that space for them to, you know, not just, you know, kind of document the day to day, but, you know, there's these incredible kind of light bulb moments that happen in those kinds of experiences. And it can be a beautiful place for that to be recorded. And I know sometimes they keep that area private and may, you know, make decisions about how they might like to craft that to be shared with external audiences later as part of that more career-oriented portfolio. And so if that's something you're interested in pursuing, I'd love to show you other examples so that you might get some ideas about how to do that with your nursing students as well. I think they'd really
love that.
They'd enjoy it. And you'll probably love reading them.
I love hearing those types of stories from students, and
yeah,
it really connects them to the profession even more.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of the kind of interviewing process, if they've gone through kind of crafting that narrative, even if they're not showing that exact page to the person interviewing, it'll be kind of at the top of their mind and describing, you know, experiences that they've had in the field too. So we can chat more about that after.
Absolutely.
That
sounds good.
I love to see them used in any kind of field experience, internships. I just think they're such a great asset. But I was curious, so when you started, you know, using this with the students, and maybe it's something that you kind of communicate to them now, you know, from your perspective, what kind of value do you feel like the e-portfolios give the students? And then what kind of value maybe does it provide to the School of Nursing at maybe, you know, during the time that you're actually working with the students, and maybe even beyond that, because they do have access as alumni as well?
Yeah, which is very important, so that they continue having this access beyond their graduation date, right? Like I said, career development is so important for so many reasons. But at the core, for me personally, how I feel about career development is I want them to land their dream job. I want them to be offered their dream job and their backup jobs. But if they are interested in the ER or another specialty area, those areas tend to be very competitive. And you know, they're all graduating roughly at the same time, so there's competition for these fellowship programs. And so I feel if they can land their dream job that they have been working towards for their entire program, then they're more likely to stay, and that could possibly impact turnover, retention. So let's put them in a position, in the best position possible, to nail that job that they really have wanted to pursue from day one, so that maybe that they'll stay.
Right.
Because we see our turnover rate since the pandemic has increased. So we need to do some work pre-pandemic, but definitely now post-pandemic, in trying to curtail that turnover rate, because it does cost an institution a lot of money to train individuals and things like that. So, you know, if they don't get that dream job and they have to take their backup job, there's going to be a turnover there. You can almost guarantee it in these days. So
yeah,
that's where I really feel career development and giving them a rounded opportunity to present themselves is so important.
Yeah. And I was curious, too, if they're ever approached as, you know, almost as advocacy tools for nursing and the field Because they do, I think, provide information about, you know, what is at the heart of that individual and why they are pursuing that as a career. You know, as you were mentioning, you know, it kind of became part of your core and your journey. You know, it wasn't a straight path to where you are now, but you wouldn't be where you are now without having had those prior experiences. So, you know, I was curious if the students are sharing their e-portfolios with other students as they're going through the program, if they're sharing them with other professors that they're working with. Do they get shared with any kind of site supervisors that they might have? What is that process like?
Well, they have the opportunity to share their e-portfolios in any manner that they choose. But, you know, a resume only tells you the professional aspect, the e-portfolio pads, that information with the personal aspect. And we have many students that enter the profession because they've had a history of some sort of cancer or some sort of disease process that put them in the care of nursing. And that's why they became a nurse or a family member or, you know, these stories are just incredible to hear. And, you know, I hear them anecdotally, but to have them, you know, housed, if they're comfortable with it, in an e-portfolio that says, this is why I'm pursuing nursing, and I want to advocate for the psychiatric patient. I want to advocate for the pediatric oncology patient. You know, the e-portfolio is the perfect place. You can't really express that on a resume. So it just takes that resume to the next level by giving, you know, the person who's reading it some insight into this person.
Yeah.
So, you know, how they choose to share it, though, is, you know, based on an individual. We don't have any strict requirements on that. They don't do peer review of each other's e-portfolio. But that is certainly something I would consider for the pre-licensure students.
Right. Yeah. And maybe part of that internship experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, you know, as part of the process, if they are choosing to share them out, maybe with potential employers, you mentioned that you give them advice on including the QR code. Have you heard back from any students about, you know, if they heard from a potential employer that they looked at their portfolio, or if there was something about the process of putting the portfolio together that may have helped them when they got into that interview stage?
Not specifically e-portfolio oriented. I do get emails and correspondence from students after they graduated saying, I got the job that I wanted, you know, and they'll offer their gratitude for the course and all the career development that we've done. And that feels so good. You know, yeah, that is not the job that they want, because, you know, when we look at turnover and retention, all of that trickles down to the patient.
Yeah.
So having a facility with low turnover, and I'm not saying e-portfolios is the cure for turnover and retention.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
But, you know, it could be part of how we can keep our employees in one place,
yeah,
you know, for longer. It's just a thought.
Yeah, yeah. And finding that position that is, you know, a good fit for them where they are at that point, right? And it may keep expanding from there. But for them to be able to get their dream job, as you mentioned, right when they graduate is huge.
Here's a preview of what's coming up next in part two of my conversation with Tina Abate, clinical assistant professor and coordinator of the student internship program at Stony Brook University.
I've completely eliminated them. There's just different ways now with active learning and innovative teaching practices now that you know, unless you have a writing requirement, I can understand, but there's different ways to present an assignment that's not, you know, 15 pages of narrative to read.